You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Full of frustration. Full of despair. From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation. Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory, pride, passion, in search of silverware. And they found Major League Soccer.
Here we go then, another episode of the MLS UK show, this time with Henry Hewitt.
It's always with Henry Hewitt.
Yeah, but you've actually bothered to, you know, turn up, which is nice. It's always nice.
Yeah, it's nice not doing it on Zoom. it's nice to see you in the flesh rather than on a screen. And it's nice to be here as well, full episode of the MLS UK show. Although if this weekend's action in MLS is to anything to go by, one of us may not be lasting the whole show. We might be getting sent off.
Yeah, that is true. It might get physical, it might get abusive, but hey, it's just another podcast. First things first, how are the playoffs?
In England, in League One, yeah. 1-1, the first game, Bolton v Barnsley. It's a bit tetchy in the Hewitt household, because obviously Poppy and her family are Barnsley fans. Well, I say Poppy's a Barnsley fan, she doesn't actually care, to be honest. But, it's the playoffs. You've experienced the playoffs with Norwich. It's exciting, yet very scary at the same time.
Yeah, I've seen Norwich in the playoffs twice, I believe. Is that? Yeah, twice. We got to the final both times. 1-1, lost one. So,
Bolton have been in the... This is the first time in League One playoffs. I've seen us in the Championship playoffs three times in the first like 5 years of me watching Bolton, and then because we were in the Premier League for so long, we've never been in the playoffs since.
Yeah.
So it's all relatively new, but I've experienced the playoffs with Atlanta a lot, you know, within that time, more than Bolton. So
I can't help thinking that the Championship needs a bit more MLS energy, because Norwich finished a despicable, disgusting 13th in the Championship this year. I'm so used to us winning it. It's always awful. And I just can't help thinking, well, we'd have made the playoffs if we'd have played in MLS and finished 13th.
You'd have made the playoffs if you'd have finished 20th.
That is true. Yeah.
I'm looking forward. Hopefully Bolton get promoted. Then, of course, we can have the MLS UK show derby again next year.
Well, normally goes well for you.
Yeah, well, different team now. Different team. But we're not here to talk about our English football teams. Well, we will be if Bolton end up getting promoted. I'm sure I'll mention that a few times. But for now, it is back to MLS. A rivalry week this week in MLS. It was a mixed bag of matches, some real fierce matches, some others...
Oh, some real rivalries, burning hot rivalries, and then some not so much.
Yeah, SKC Minnesota, not known. I think they just get put together.
Atlanta and Charlotte, burning hot.
Charlotte, 1,000 fans travel, that's becoming a bit of a rivalry.
I know, but can they not just... I say that I'm like a broken record. Just decide who the rivals are and keep it that way. Like Atlanta, Orlando, you couldn't stop MLS from going on about it. And then all of a sudden, no, I don't care. It's Columbus. Then it's Charlotte. What's going on?
Yeah, and with San Diego joining, I'm sure they'll be...
Atlanta's big rivals.
Yeah, everyone just gets put with Atlanta.
New York City, a few men, San Diego join.
But it's what we're in MLS for. It's one of the MLS-isms that we've come to enjoy. Rivalry week, where there's about four of them in the season. But
I watched, we'll come on to this later because I want to talk like in depth about last night's game. But San Jose LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
There was not an ounce of rivalry to it. It was like all calm, very polite, like, you know, passing around. They were abusing the ref more than they were abusing each other. It's not a rivalry. They don't care.
Well, I mean, going off LA Galaxy and San Jose's Twitter accounts in the days leading up to it, it seemed they do care.
Mm. Show it on the pitch.
Well, yeah. We'll be talking about what happened in Rivalry Week, plus all the other talking points within MLS. And we've got a game to play as well, which Elliot's not told me anything about. That's coming up on today's MLS UK show. But before that, we need to do, as always, the Anton Watts game with a changing name.
Yeah, so this is a player that's played in the UK and in MLS. So I will read you their career path. You've got to work out. obviously, I do a radio show in the day. And as soon as I say, you've got to work out, I was going to say the artist and the title. It's a different game, something else that we play. You've got to work out who the player is. Okay. They started their career, and this will explain a lot. As the career path progresses, they started their career at Chelsea.
Ooh, Chelsea. Okay.
And therefore, then have played for 8 clubs while at Chelsea. Because typical Chelsea.
Chelsea send them out on loan, yeah.
Middlesbrough, Östersund, Wycombe Wanderers, Sheffield United, Leeds United, Vitesse, Bristol Rovers, and Rotherham United.
Wow. Whilst at Chelsea?
Whilst at Chelsea.
Okay.
They then went to LAFC.
Right.
Then Huddersfield Town. And they are currently at Exeter City and have played 38 times this season.
Well, Exeter City are in Bolton's league, but I couldn't tell you
any of them. So you've seen them play?
You've
seen them play this season?
But I can't tell you any of our players.
If they've played 38 games, they've played against Bolton this year.
Right, okay. I'll have a think. I'll try and think back. We beat them 2-0 at home. It was just before Christmas. So I'll have to think back a few months. If you know, let us know at MLS UK Show. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You can also email us hello@mls.show. Tell us where you're up to in the podcast, because if you wait till the end and find out then, we'll know.
Career goals, 0, by the way.
Right, okay. Is that a clue?
Big clue.
Right, let us know if you know. Coming up, we're going to be talking about what happened this weekend in MLS. But first, let's hear from myself and Elliot talking about our sponsor.
The MLS UK Show.
Yes, we are, of course, brought to you by soccer90.com. It is the place to go for all of your MLS merch. In fact, all of your world soccer merch. And we have a discount code for you as well.
Yes, if you want any MLS jerseys, international jerseys, European club jerseys, and much more, then head to soccer90.com. And whilst you're at the checkout, in the discount code, type in MLS UK, you get 20% off too.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt, MLS UK Show.
So let's have a look what happened this weekend in MLS. And we're going to start off with the last match of the weekend, yesterday, as we speak right now, LA Galaxy 2, San Jose 1. It was part of Rivalry Week, despite what you say. And LA Galaxy have got the win. They're no longer bottom of the conference. They went bottom for overnight, but they've jumped back up to second bottom. A good win?
Yes and no. I got up at 2:30 in the morning to watch this because I was sick of saying LA Galaxy are rubbish. I'm sick of talking about all the protests about LA Galaxy not, you know, being very good on and off the field and not actually getting to take in the soccer that's being played. Obviously with Apple TV, an MLS season pass, the downside is that the games are all at the same time most of the time. So really nice that we got a little Sunday evening, Monday morning for us. So I got up and I watched this, and the problems are like, it's really apparent that it's just quite simply the finishing for Galaxy. So before we get into individual players, just looking at stats alone for LA Galaxy, and I hate just quoting stats, but seriously, the XG per game at home for Galaxy is 1.99. Overall, they're scoring less than one goal per game.
Less than one goal a game?
Less than a goal a game over on average this season. They're conceding 1.64 goals per game overall, 1.67 at home. And you just can't help thinking if they just put their chances away, obviously they need to tighten up at the back a little bit, but if they just put their chances away, they'd be in such a better position because they're clearly, you know, the XG comes with a caveat, but it's measuring the quality of chances and they're not scoring as many as they should. And when I watched this game, I saw why. Chicharito, love the guy, was dreadful.
Oh,
mate, really bad.
Right. Okay.
Really bad. To the point where his individual XG, so his expected goals, I was expecting it to be like 3 point something because he had so many chances. But he actually failed to make contact with two of those big chances. So they don't even get registered in his XG. And that's why it's actually lower than one. Because I saw it and I was like, how is it lower than one? Like, he should have scored a bucket full of goals last night, this morning. But he actually failed to make contact with two of the massive chances. And I just really want him to do well. But it's not worked out at LA Galaxy. For a man of his stature, yes, he scored goals, should have scored twice as many. And last night, didn't register a single shot on target. That's not good enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, LA Galaxy have obviously had a stop-start season. You know, they clearly aren't scoring enough goals, yet conceding a lot. We saw that against LAFC in El Tráfico. Mm. You know, you look last night and Ricky Puig scored. I mean, it was probably harder for him to miss his goal.
I think it's been taken off him.
Has it? Mm. Right, okay.
Because in the commentary, he like poked it across the line. I think it already crossed the line. And they said, oh, he's the first player to score more than one goal this season for Galaxy. Like, he's so yeah. far, every player's just got one goal each. And then they took it off him.
I think it's obviously not been working out. They have picked up a couple of positive results in recent weeks, but then, you know, you look at the Colorado defeat and that was really poor. We're having this discussion about LA Galaxy and it's clear, as you've said there, what the problems are and what we need to address. And to be honest with Galaxy, I'd actually say that them scoring is, I would have said that was fine. Before the season, you say, oh yeah, they won't have any problem scoring. It's the defensive play. Yeah. I mean, they've not been defending very well, but obviously they're not scoring and that has been the main issue.
You kind of just expect them to outscore their opponent with the likes of Chicharito, but I don't have anything against him. I just watched him and thought, you're not very good, which is it's a sad state of affairs, really. He could have scored a hat trick easily. By the way, not like, oh, he definitely could have scored. He should have scored a hat trick.
Is Chicharito gone back to LA Galaxy season one then?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
I didn't think it was. It couldn't be that bad as if it's season one. Chicharito.
You go and watch the highlights and you come back to me.
I do think Chicharito, you know, I'll be honest, it was on at 2:30 in the morning here, so I didn't watch the match last night. But, you know, I mean, I think the guy has got enough to come back and score goals and score important goals for LA Galaxy. Mm. I think it's good that they've brought Ricky Puig in. They've also got Jelovic as well, who is, you know, they can take the workload off him. They can score goals, take the pressure off him.
Jelovic certainly took the workload off him. It came on, replaced him and scored straight away.
Wow.
Which turned out to be the winning goal. So, work to be done up top for Galaxy. The thing that really, really killed it for me, when you get up at 2:30 in the morning to watch an MLS game, with a few minutes to go, I was like, right, I'm gonna put a little bet on here. I'm going to put an under on.
Right.
So it was 1-0. And I was like, right, I'm going to say there's going to be under 2.5 goals. So Jovalic scored immediately, but it was in like past 90 minutes. So I was like, we're fine. We're home and dry here. Then the San Jose goal that they pulled back, it was so offside. I actually sat there really calmly like, well, that's even just from seeing it not in the replay, seeing it in real time. I was like, well, he's so offside. That's going to be disallowed, like VAR will review that. So I actually just sat there really calmly, like smugly, just checking my bet, like thinking, no, it's all right, it doesn't matter. He's so offside, and they didn't even look at it. He just blew the whistle for full time. Like, you've killed me there. You've absolutely killed me. And Galaxy defenders and keeper, they'll be on clean sheet bonuses. He was so offside, like, by a long, long, long way. And they've just gone, doesn't matter. Just blow the whistle. Like, you've killed me. You financially killed me.
I mean, don't say that, mate. We'll be doing a collecting money for you.
No, but all seriousness, I just think, how is that a goal? That's one of the worst examples of, like, refereeing and use of VAR I've ever seen in MLS. Like, it was so bad. It was a deflected shot, but even when the shot was taken, he was so far offside. There was a player off the pitch, a defender off the pitch injured, which I think is why they've allowed it, as if he's playing him on. He's not even on the pitch. So, yeah, do better, LA Galaxy, up top, and do better, MLS and VAR.
Hey, but what does that teach us, ladies and gentlemen? Bet responsibly.
Referee responsibly.
Right, well, let's move on, talk about two other teams who we spoke about in our last Stoppage Time episode because they fired their head coaches. Of course, we mean Chicago Fire and New York Red Bulls, and with them both progressing in the US Open Cup in the week and then both winning at the weekend, it possibly shows that they were the right decisions. Let's start with Chicago Fire. They kicked off the weekend. They beat St. Louis 1-0. Frank Kloplas is in charge. Of course, he's been around Chicago Fire for a while. A real hero, a legend at the club. I think he's gone back to basics and it's worked out for them. A good win, this.
Yeah, it's that classic new manager bounce. Chicago and New York Red Bulls actually next to each other in the table currently, 21st and 22nd. It's that home form that we spoke about previously that they really need to improve on. Really strong start. But they have to build on that now. Mm. I really think that they do have a roster to be a lot better than 21st. Just in attack alone, so much has been made of Shaqiri and how that hasn't really worked. No. You have to get the best out of him, and then I think you automatically make the playoffs. Chris Mueller, you know, we've had on the show, the man's mentality is probably his strongest asset. Very good with his feet as well, so, like, you have to get him involved in the game. They've got so much talent, so make that work.
Yeah, I mean, what's funny now is that Chicago, with that win, are actually only a point off the sort of playoffs within the East. So it's funny how one weekend can completely change the narrative of your season. But yeah, I think this is what Chicago needed. They just needed to go back to basics, you know, play the better players and get it into, you know, and utilize them better. And that's what we did against St. Louis. St. Louis probably won't want to play Chicago again for a while, having been knocked out in the week to them in the US Open Cup. And now St. Louis have got four home games in a row coming up. So they're still third in the conference, but I think we should see them get back to form because they've not won in a month now. But Chicago, yeah, it's a positive weekend for once for Chicago Fire. And let's see how we do. Like you said there, they've got the players to utilise. They should be making playoffs in our opinion. So let's see what happens. New York Red Bull won the Hudson River Derby against New York City FC. Our friend UK NYCFC Barney, he went over to watch the game, was sticking his stickers all over Red Bull Arena. But a good win for Red Bulls this, and again, much needed for them. They were struggling and now they've come out and probably won arguably the biggest match of the season.
Ultimately, they've doubled their home wins just from that alone, which is vital. They had three draws and a loss, which is not awful, but when you're not picking up points away, I think, you know, your home form is super important. They too, they're in an interesting time. We've seen them dominate with Atlanta just a few seasons ago, and yeah, the roster isn't quite at that level. But we've talked about how many playoff places there are. It's certainly strong enough for them to be making the real playoffs. So I don't really have any worries about New York. They're 3 points off Charlotte and Montreal and Orlando and Columbus as well. Columbus, you kind of I keep thinking they've had an incredible start, but they're level on points with some teams that have had a very mediocre opening to the season. So it's all still very tight. And I think the crucial thing here is pulling the trigger early on the coach, because we've talked before about how that doesn't tend to happen.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk in just a minute about another team who could possibly benefit from firing their head coach as well, maybe. But just a quick one on Red Bulls. They're obviously, Troy Lessaigne has got the job. They've given him a job till the end of the season. Do you think that's a bit too soon to do that? I know he's got a win in his first two games, but surely there's enough time for him to go, right, you do it for now. We're going to get a new, even if it's in the summer, you know, even if it's someone from Europe that we need to wait a few months for.
I thought that these two sackings coincided with the end of the season in Europe.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like they've got any moves that they're prepared to make. So that did surprise me a little bit. A lot of the time when you say, oh, till the end of the season, it's sort of like, well, we're not going to go up, we're not going to go down, we're just going to stick with it. It's very early to be doing that.
It is. New York City FC, though, are in 10th. They've lost their last four, including in the US Open Cup. I feel in this game, you had a lot of possession, New York City FC, but they didn't really do much with it. The lack of firepower up front, that's a bit worrying, isn't it, for them?
Well, we've talked about, at the start of the season, we had a conversation on the podcast about Talis Magno and how he was kind of going to be their main striker, even though he's basically a left winger. In the conversation with Chicago, it would be like playing Chris Mueller through the middle. It's not where he's going to be most effective. So, a little bit surprised they haven't, at a club of their stature, they haven't found someone to ultimately out and out replace Castellanos. That was the question we kept asking ourselves last season. Are they going to be able to replace him? They haven't done so far for me.
No, I'd agree with that, and I think that's what they're missing at the moment, NYCFC. I mean, you know, it's NYCFC. We've seen over the last few years that, you know, if they get it right, then they will go on a run and make playoffs, and they'll get quite far into the playoffs. So I'm not worried about them for this season, but yeah, at the moment there's definitely a lack of firepower up there, and which needs addressing. Maybe again, maybe they're waiting till the summer. Maybe they're waiting for the European season to end, and they're going to surprise us with a signing. Who knows?
Well, Toronto surprises with a few European signings last season. Not really worked out. Bob Bradley put in charge of basically everything at TFC. He's got the cleaning contracts, managing the team, driving them to practice, the lot. I'm struggling with Toronto at the minute.
Yeah.
Last season, really poor. This season, not any better. Lost against Montreal. That's not a game that you want to be losing when your job's on the line. And previous to that, no away wins at all.
No, well, this is who we were talking about when we were saying that they will look at what has happened at Red Bulls. They'll look at what happened with Chicago and look, well, they've had a bit of a bounce. Do they need one? Bob Bradley, he's far more experienced within MLS, you know, than a lot of other head coaches in the league. So maybe he will get the benefit of the doubt a bit more. But I think at the moment, it just isn't working out, obviously. You know, I mean, I think it's just as well. I mean, if you look at the narrative of this game, you know, obviously there was an issue with the first goal where they let the centre-half just waltz through and lay it off to Lapalainen. Then the sending off, which was poor discipline from Marshall Rutty. Then 2-0. And then afterwards, it kicks off. You know, there's just a lack of discipline there. There's a lack of, for me, I don't think it's a lack of effort from Toronto because they clearly care about, you know, about it. And that's what we saw after the game. I just think there's a lack of intelligence at the moment on the pitch. And it's really surprising considering that Bob Bradley is their head coach.
Well, just looking through the results as well, you know, we talk about home form. At home, you know, they beat New York City, good result. But they played Atlanta at home and drew, should have won the game. They played Charlotte at home and drew, that was also 2-2, should have won the game. They drew with Columbus, should be winning the game. And, you know, they lost to New England Revolution. Well, New England have won three or four away games already this season. So you can kind of explain that one away. But for me, two wins all season at a club the size of Toronto, with the expectations the size of Toronto, is nowhere near good enough.
Well, yeah, it's extremely poor, isn't it? It's not what we expect from Toronto, and not what we thought we would get from Toronto. We had high opinions of them. We knew it would be a pressure season. They've brought two big players in. They've got a big head coach in. We thought, okay, yeah, the pressure is on. But we expected so much more than this. It's been so poor. And Toronto fans, I would love to know what you think. Do you think Bob Bradley's time is up at the club? Do they need a change? Or, I mean, you know, because we look at Montreal, for example, who do you play against? A few weeks ago, we're saying that Montreal are poor. Montreal's start to the season has been disappointing, and we don't know what we expect from them, and we don't expect much from them. Now look at them now. They've won four in a row after only winning one of the first seven, and they're in seventh place in the conference. So it can turn around, but is it going to turn around?
There is a positive at TFC. I don't want to be a typical bloke here, but Maria, who does their socials, very nice, and I follow her on Instagram, and she's... That's the only positive I've got for Toronto at the minute.
Well, there we go. Hi, Maria.
Maria Papadakis. Greetings.
So Montreal have hit form. One or two other teams that have hit form again. Like we've got to talk about, first of all, Inter Miami. Where's this come from? We were talking about Phil Neville's. His job was on the line. Now suddenly they're winning every game. Phil Neville said to MLS after the game that, you know, they need to have that winning 9-6 mentality of being desperate to win that next game. They need to have that throughout the season, not just when they have gone 9-6. And they've won the last few games. Jose Martinez scored again. A good win against New England Revolution, who were top of the conference.
Yeah, New England Revolution and Columbus in the early starts, early sort of 7 to 8 weeks of the season looked really strong. New England Revolution I watched a lot. Columbus I saw quite a few games of. And as soon as Inter Miami went to lower.com stadium and beat them at the end of April, they've been a different team. And now they've been able to beat New England Revolution as well. Of course, the win over Atlanta, which is well documented with Martinez scoring. I mean, six losses on the bounce. Two of those were home games. So they lost to New York away, Toronto away. Then they beat Chicago at home. They lost to Cincinnati away. They lost to Dallas at home, and then they went away to Houston and lost. And all of a sudden, they're a different team again. But it worries me. That kind of fragility worries me a little bit because it could so easily go the other way. They've won three in a row. I don't even know who they play next. Nashville away. What are the chances they go and make that four? You know, like, are they going to then lose one and then lose three or four off the back of it? It seems a little bit rickety.
Well, this is what we expect from Inter Miami. We've seen it before, haven't we? That they go on these great runs and then they'll lose a couple of games 5-0 and Phil Neville will be under pressure again. But yeah, you're right. I mean, some of the games they've won, Columbus, Atlanta and New England Revolution are good teams. They're impressive wins.
And before that, Philly, the last game before their losing streak was against Philly. Was it 2-0?
Yeah.
They've had some really bizarre results. Really bizarre.
Well, talking of bizarre, David Ruiz kind of had he had an interesting game, to say the least. 19-year-old, he scored his first MLS goal, yeah. got an assist as well for Jose Martinez's goal, and then got booked and got sent off. So a perfect match, I guess.
It's so Miami.
It is Miami.
Literally so Miami.
I don't know. Do we congratulate the guy or do we say he should do better?
It's hard to say, really.
Yeah, but let's be positive. Well done, 19-year-old Ruiz, who got his first MLS goal. Inter Miami up to sixth now in the East, and they're looking forward, they're looking up, and it's so interesting at Miami. It's so interesting because it looks like, it looks like Messi probably isn't coming now. He seems to be coming in and not coming.
Come to his senses, more like.
So they have to think of a plan B. They have got I don't know whether that be another European player to bring in. Obviously Messi isn't European, but from Europe. And or whether they stick with what they've got. But at the moment, if they stick with what they've got, if they play like they are doing, then they'll be fine and they'll be
getting. I just don't know if it's sustainable. I think it's more likely that you find a middle ground between them losing six in a row and then winning the next three. There's more likely to be a middle ground. So I do think lower end of playoffs is a realistic target still.
Well, that brings us on to Sporting KC, and I know we're talking about them every week.
You want to talk about a losing streak? Okay then, SKC. I won't read it all.
Yeah, well, I feel that because we were talking about SKC so much in that sort of time, and saying Peter Vermees is his time up, we have to now talk about them positively because they won at Seattle, followed that up, 3-0 at home to Minnesota, and they look a totally different team. They look so confident. What a result this was. And where's this come from? Where was this at the start of the season?
Yeah, well, more shots on target, more possession. The win on the road in Seattle, of course, giving them a lot of confidence. And to be honest, they had Minnesota rattled a little bit. Minnesota had committing so many fouls. I mean, Shallowy, we know, proper player once he's, you know, in form and getting service. Kinder as well, a lot made of him and Johnny Russell with an assist. We've called out Johnny Russell, you know, needs to do more. But again, they now have to win realistically 1, 2, 3, 4. They've got to win about 6 games now just to make up for the poor start to the season.
Yeah.
Because they dropped so many points. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 losses and 3 draws since the start of the season. All before they won a game.
Yeah, well, it shows how tight it is at the bottom of the West. The fact that they are only 3 points behind Minnesota, who are in the last sort of...
But Minnesota have been poor.
They have been, yeah. But, I mean, SKC have been worse.
Yeah.
And even though they are still bottom, if they win, they can go level on points with Minnesota, who are in 9th at the moment. So, yeah, this is shows in MLS and...
Minnesota haven't even won a home game yet.
No,
that's how bad they've been.
But they've not won in over a month now, but they... Yeah, this shows with MLS, it shows that this sort of cycle of teams having poor runs, being under pressure, and then suddenly picking up wins and being back up the league. It's really difficult to analyse because you've got two teams that have sacked the head coaches and now suddenly are winning. But then you've got teams like Miami and SKC who go, well, we kept our head coaches and we then eventually knew we would start winning. So maybe there's hope for Toronto just yet.
I wonder as well, I mean, just to touch on Minnesota, we said they haven't won a game at home. They've had a really poor start to the season because all they've done is win away, which is weird because it's hard to do. But just looking at the games they've got coming up, they've got Houston at home. They could win that. They go away to Portland, who are a shadow of their former selves. They've got RSL, who are struggling. They've got Austin, who are struggling. They've got Toronto, who are struggling. Those next 5 games... is their season. And not to be dramatic, but if they're going to do anything, they need four or five wins there.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. And chances are, knowing MLS, they will probably get those 4 or 5 wins. Right, the last game we're going to talk in depth about is going to be Austin versus Dallas. Now, Austin have had a poor start to the season compared to what we did last year. And I think so far, we've not really spoke much about Austin. We've kind of keep on brushing over it, going, yeah, they're not playing as well as what they were. They're missing Dryusi now. They got Redis sent off on Saturday evening. They lost the game 1-0. What is going on at Austin? Because they've won 2 all season at home. They've not won now since the 12th of March. This isn't what we expected from Austin.
It's not. They're conceding more than they're scoring at home and away. I know that's a really simplistic way of looking at it, but that's where it's all going wrong. Creating chances isn't necessarily a problem. If they were to create that same amount of chances as they have, but conceded half the amount of goals, their season would be looking so, so different. So we're not necessarily looking at problems with, you know, Dryusi, you mentioned. If they could tighten up at the back, they could offset that loss. But currently, if they're going to keep conceding at this rate and now be without Dryusi, I don't know what to say, to be honest.
Well, yeah, Jesus Ferreira got the good goal in the 89th minute. He almost hung on. It's his 6th for the season. First goal since scoring for the US in April, actually.
Yeah, mad.
But yeah, Austin at 12th now in the West, and they're another team. I mean, I don't think for 1 minute that Josh Wolf is under pressure, but they are another team that is, they need to pick up wins sooner or later. Are they going to find themselves at the bottom and being talked about more like SKC and LA Galaxy? So I do think Austin will turn it around. I think, I think for me, I don't know whether it's a bit of a hangover from last season. They did so well last season. Obviously, they lost out to LAFC in the conference final, but it's I think they just need to refine that energy from last year, which I'm sure they will do.
Well, if SKC are to be believed, the way to turn around your season is just pop to Cascadia, beat Seattle, and turn it all around, and that's who they've got next. So easy, right? Yeah. Easy.
Well, we'll see, because not even Mark Henry. Do you remember him, the big wrestler from back in the day?
I do.
He was banging the drum for Austin at the weekend. Didn't help them out. So
they might sexual have to... chocolate wasn't enough.
It wasn't. Maybe they'll have to go for, I don't know, the Big Show instead. Right, let's round off the results in MLS this weekend. Atlanta 1, Charlotte 3.
Who was there? Scotty Too Hottie?
Yeah. Justin Meerum scored 2 goals.
Oh, don't. It was disgusting.
He was too cool for Atlanta.
Imagine, right, I can't, just let me, right, no. Just please. Do you remember the time when Atlanta would put a video of them getting off the bus and it would be all the crown emojis, the kings are here. It was so arrogant, right? And yeah. It was disgusting. It was a horrible time to live through. The arrogance of Atlanta in that moment was horrible, right? This same club just allowed Justin Meerum to score against them twice, and their left winger is Andrew Gutman. I'm not even bantering you anymore. I'm just like, you have to agree. It's tragic. It's not even a joke, and it's not for the show. It's not like to wind you up. It's just a fact. It's so bad.
Well, the thing with Atlanta is, for me, now we've lost our last 3 in MLS.
Kings are here.
But we're still 4th. It could be a lot worse.
Well, yeah, that's because no one wants... We've just been discussing. No one wants to win anything. We've just discussed that.
That is true. But XG was over 1.5 on Saturday. Mm. It's just, yeah, it's just that the defence need to...
You've got World Cup winners missing sitters. You've got World Cup winners playing next to Andrew Gutman. I'm like, what is happening? Okay.
It was a bad day. It was a bad day at the office. What is happening? We will turn it around. I think 4th. I think Atlanta will finish about 4th in the conference this year. So we're about on par. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Columbus 2, Orlando 2. Got to praise Orlando. 2-0 down. No, pulled it back. 2-2. Duncan Maguire scored again last minute. Are you impressed with Maguire?
Impressed with Maguire. Should be starting.
Okay. So 2-2, Orlando 11th at the moment. 7 places below Atlanta in the East. DC 1, Nashville 1. Alex Mule with a goal off his armpit, which was a first for me.
Yeah, a nice finish that.
It was. They're in third now. They've picked up a bit of form.
Anything for a deodorant advert sponsorship.
Yeah, true. DC in 9th, but unbeaten in the last 4 of the last 5, so they have picked up form again. Right, where else have we not been so far? Houston v Seattle. Feel really bad for UK, Houston and Seattle fans. There was a weather delay, and it was a late start anyway, so. I'm sure you had a very quiet Sunday morning.
I didn't watch that one.
No. Houston went down to 10 men and almost held out. But Paul Rothrock got the goal. He was playing for the Tacoma Defiance in MLS Next Pro. That was his last week he was playing for them, and he scored in MLS. So what a story that is. 4 minutes after coming on.
That's Houston's first loss at home this season as well. They were doing really well at home.
They were. And the, you know, I mean, with Bassi and Herrera being sent off, you know, it wasn't a surprise that Seattle eventually got the goal. Seattle remained top of the West. Let's see. Finally, Colorado 1, Philadelphia 2. Good win for Philly. They've... they're up to 5th. They'll be disappointed he got knocked out of the US Open Cup in the week. I think he's been stop-start with the Champions League for them. But to be 5th, to be heading into mid-May in 5th, I think Philadelphia probably take that with everything else going on.
I'm not judging anyone who's still in CONCACAF right now.
Well, we're not.
Well, who's been playing in CONCACAF, I should say. I was looking down at LAFC as the next game who beat RSL. But yeah, they've had a difficult season. This is their time that they can start building on that. LAFC, of course, still going strong and winning games in MLS.
Yeah, Buanga, what a goal that was. 9 for the season, outside the area, top corner, boom. Yeah, they're second, 2 points in 2 games behind Seattle. Back at it after the San Jose defeat.
Is Buanga the best striker in the league?
I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, and he's showing it every week. I think the quality is there. He's a fantastic player. Portland 3, Vancouver 1. Evander, talking of strikers, he's only scored 4 this year, but he scored 2 different types of goals. One in the area, a bit of fox in the box, and then one from outside the area. Good win for Portland. They're up to 6th. And that's it. That was all the action from this weekend in MLS. Chat to us. Tell us how your team's gone on. If you're watching on YouTube, put it in the comments. I know a lot of you do. Or if you're listening on your podcast provider, tweet us, Instagram us at MLS UK Show. Have you agreed with what we've said? Is there something we've missed out on? Tell us. How are you rating your team's start to the season so far?
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
MLS UK Show with Elliot Holman and Henry Hewitt.
Okay, it's time for that's all quite heavy. Let's do a little bit of fun. Let's play a game, shall we? It's time for another round of the Jason Christ is Right. Yes. It's basically the Price is Right. It's higher or lower. You can play along at home. And playing today in the studio, Henry Hewitt, come on down. Welcome, Henry.
Hi, everyone. Hi, good to be here.
Henry, how old are you and what do you do?
I'm 32 years old and I talk about MLS for a living with you.
Some job. Okay, well, we're going to test your MLS knowledge. There's been a couple of firings in the league in the last couple of weeks. Lost a few coaches. So I decided to look at MLS clubs and the amount of coaches they've had in their history.
Ooh,
you've got to tell me if it's higher or lower than the club before.
Got
okay,
you.
Are you ready to play?
Let's go.
The first one is Orlando City. Do you want to guess how many clubs they've had? How many coaches they've had so far?
Four.
It is four. We're not including the interim coaches, otherwise we'll be here all day. So higher or lower than four? Philadelphia Union.
Oh, it's got to be lower.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
It is lower. Three.
Yes.
Jim Curtin been there for 97 years. higher or lower than three, RSL.
Oh, higher.
It is higher. Six. Higher or lower than six, Portland Timbers.
Ooh. Lower.
It is lower. Only three. How have they only had three managers, the Portland Timbers? We will continue with New England Revolution. How many do you reckon?
Oh, I'm not going to predict how many, but I will say higher than three.
It is higher than three. It's eight.
Yeah.
Higher or lower than eight, TFC.
Toronto. Lower, surely.
It's higher. Nine.
Wow.
Nine coaches for TFC and maybe soon to be 10. Sorry, Bob. Higher or lower, finally, than nine, San Jose Earthquakes.
Oh, this is a tough one. They've been around for quite a while. I'm going to go higher.
It is higher. 12.
Yes.
It's good. I think you only got one wrong. It's not a bad effort. Thank you very much for playing. Henry Hewitt, we believe you that you talk about MLS for a living.
You know what? We flirted with other games, haven't we? But, you know, Jason Christ is Right is the classic.
Shame about the name, but... Ironically, he's one of the four at Orlando and one of the six at RSL.
Yeah, of course. Right, there is midweek matches in MLS this week. We'll try and get this podcast out before the midweek matches. I've got to say as well, because I feel that, you know, there's a lot of you that listen to the podcast and we try and get it out on a Tuesday evening / Wednesday morning or whatever. And, you know, I know that podcasting is part of people's routine. You know, you have your podcast you listen to. So I know that recently, like last week, it came out on Thursday or Friday. Mm.
Rumor has it that's because another podcast you work on was more important.
Well, we did a live show to 500 people. So yeah, but we have got work that, does get in the way, and we love doing this, and we will always try and get an episode out each week. But sometimes if it can't be out on the Tuesday, it will be out at some point before the weekend. It's just when we can get around to doing it. So thank you very much for everyone who listened and watched the episode on YouTube last week. And sticking with us. It has so far been our most listened to and watched series so far. So,
which is ridiculous because it's the worst we've ever done at getting together and actually doing it. So
maybe we should take a hint.
We're normally a lot better than this.
Midweek matches, before we look at our predictions for this coming weekend, midweek matches include Atlanta versus Colorado. Come on, Atlanta, jeez. Charlotte versus Chicago, Cincinnati, Montreal, Columbus, LA Galaxy, Orlando, NYCFC, Philadelphia v. DC, Toronto, New York, Red Bulls. If Toronto lose that, gee. Dallas v. Vancouver, Minnesota, Houston, and Nashville into Miami. There's also RSL Portland, LAFC versus SKC, and as you mentioned before, Seattle play Austin. Mm. Now the week, the predictions week before, we drew and we got really high scores of 40 all.
It's not going to happen this week. It was tough.
Going off the predictions we did on the last time, which was the Nigel Rio Coker episode. Want to hazard a guess at who won?
You.
Yes, it was. I won. It ended up being 20 points to 15. You got three outcomes right. I got, three, but I also said that Nashville beat Chicago 3-0, and they did.
Wow.
Which is actually, that's not a 2-1, that's an impressive prediction.
Yeah, nice.
So I win 20 points to 15. Remember, if you get the right outcome, it's 5 points. If you get the right result, you get 10. So, looking at this weekend's matches, it all kicks off with Charlotte versus Nashville. Elliot, what's your prediction?
Charlotte v. Nashville. Oh, that's actually really difficult. I'm going to say 2-1 Charlotte.
Charlotte have picked up form. I think they'll continue. I think they'll win. But I'm going to go 1-0, quite a tight one.
Cincinnati v. Columbus is another tough one to call in the East. But I'm going to say it's a 1-0 Cincinnati victory.
I'm going to go 1-1, actually.
No, can I change mine?
No.
I don't think Columbus are going to score. I was going to say 2-1.
Hell is real, Derby. Fiery occasions always. So I think with any actual rivalry, not these made-up ones that MLS do, I think I just tend to go for a draw. DC v. LA Galaxy.
DC win this easy for me. 2-0.
Obviously LA Galaxy, a game in the week away at Columbus and then going to DC. That's tough on the travel. I'm going to go DC or win, I think, 2-0.
Miami host Orlando in the Florida Derby. 3-2 Miami.
You'd have to go in Miami at the moment, but then Orlando will occasionally pull out a really
away
good
wins, away. Much better away than home.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to go 2-1 Orlando.
Okay.
Although Martinez will score. Just because he's changed teams doesn't mean he won't stop scoring against Orlando.
Loves it, doesn't he? New York Red Bulls versus Montreal.
That's a tough one, isn't it? 1-1.
2-1 Montreal.
Philly v. New England Revolution.
Big battle in the East a couple of years ago, this would have been.
It is now, to be fair.
Philly on the comeback. I'm going to say 2-1 Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, New England Revolution are playing really well, barring this weekend. But Philly at home, I'd always go with Philly at home. So I'm going to go 3-2 Philadelphia.
Okay, Austin versus Toronto in a game neither side seems to want to win. 1-0 Austin. Scrape it.
I'm going to do it.
Go on.
No, we don't like doing it, but I'm going to do it.
0-0.
0-0.
Horrible. Chicago against Atlanta. Easy. 3-1 Chicago.
2-1 Chicago.
Dallas versus Houston in the Texas Derby.
Dallas win 3-1.
Dallas win for me 2-0.
Colorado RSL, the Rocky Mountain Derby.
Colorado 2... RSL 0.
2-2.
St. Louis versus Kansas City.
I mean, St. Louis have now not won in a month.
Which St. Louis will turn up and which SKC will turn up?
I think St. Louis will win. That home atmosphere, home crowd will get them over the line. I think it'll be 2-0.
3-1 for me. LAFC in the California Classic against San Jose.
Vengeance. and they will get it. LAFC will win 3-0.
2-0 for me.
Portland v Minnesota.
Ooh. Minnesota are actually better away than Portland are at home. But Portland 2-1.
3-2, Portland.
Cascadia Classic, Vancouver against Seattle. Seattle win... Ooh. No, Vancouver score a lot at home. Seattle 3, Vancouver 2.
Right, okay. We've seen Vancouver pull a 1-0s out the bag in so many of these matches over the last few years. But I think it'll be 1-1.
Okay.
There we go. There are our predictions. Let us know what you think. Give us your predictions at MLS UK Show. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or comment on the video on YouTube and subscribe while you're there. Right, before we go, we need to round off with the reveal of the player for the Anton Walkes game with a changing name.
Yeah, so this is a player that's played in the UK and in MLS. They started their career with Chelsea, which means they spent a lot of time on loan. Middlesbrough, Östersund, Wickham, Sheffield United, Leeds United, Vitesse, Bristol Rovers and Rotherham, all while at Chelsea. At what point do you go, just let me go? they did, and they went to LAFC, then Huddersfield Town, and then 38 times for Exeter City this season.
Now, I'm just mainly going off the fact that I remember he played for Sheffield United. Mm-hmm. I remember he played for LAFC. Didn't know he played for Huddersfield, but I'm pretty sure now I've seen him against Exeter, Bolton v Exeter. Is his first name Jamal?
Yes.
And his surname's Blackman?
Yes.
Yes, got there in the end. And after many, many clubs, there's only three of them that I can link him with. Well done if you got that right as well. We'll do another one on the next main episode of the MLS UK show.
I'm going to prepare my LA Galaxy style five fingers because Henry's going to tell you that you should definitely, definitely rate our podcast.
Yes, if you listen on your podcast provider, whether it be Apple, Spotify, please leave us a rating. Leave us a review if you can as well. But if you are going to do so, there's one rule and one rule only.
5 stars only. It's LA Galaxy style or nothing.
If you're watching on YouTube, please like, please subscribe as well. It really does mean a lot to us. You can't leave us a rating on there, but tell your friends, share it. That would that's like a rating, only positively though. 5 shares, LA Galaxy style. But that's it from us. We'll be back next week with another episode of Stoppage Time. I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.